Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevan Zwelder.
In Job 5:7 we read this, "Yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward." Eliphaz is giving an answer to Job, and his answer runs two chapters, Job chapter 4 and Job chapter 5. And in the process of giving his answer, he makes this very true statement, "Yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward." You know, you're not going to get through this life without trouble. And the sooner that you realize this, the better. Because it is true that man is born unto trouble. And today what we're going to do is we're going to look at some things that men have trouble with. And I've just made up an interesting little acrostic. Obviously, with this acrostic, I can't cover everything that troubles everybody. But it gives us a kind of an outline for some of the areas that trouble us, and then we're going to look at some of the things that men do to deal with those troubles. Man has trouble with, first of all, temptations. That's the T in trouble. Man has trouble with temptations. I don't know about you, but I'm troubled by temptations continuously. When we think about the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, after his baptism, he was taken by the Spirit out in the wilderness, and he was tried for 40 days and 40 nights as he fasted. Just to let you know, your life as a Christian is going to be filled with temptation. I mean, if you think about your own life, as I think about mine, one day we're dealing with a temptation and we find victory in an area on one particular day, and we're thinking, "Wow, I've got that one. Woohoo! In Jesus Christ, I've been delivered." You wake up the next day, and now you're finding that you're dealing with a temptation coming at you from a completely different direction. And so you struggle to work and find the place of Scripture and find the Lord Jesus Christ, and you find that through the yielding to the Lord Jesus Christ and through the power and presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in you, you know, you find that way of escape, and you think, "Thank God, I got through that temptation." Wake up the next day, now you're having trouble with the same temptation that you had a couple of days ago. And you think, when does this ever stop? And the truth is, it never does stop. You get over one temptation through Jesus Christ, and wham, you're dealing with one that you beat the other day. And you know what the Bible says? All of this is common to man. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Jesus Christ is always the answer. And I'll tell you something else. Sin is never the answer. It's an amazing thing to me how people go through temptation and they think, "You know what, I feel like I just need to go drink again, or I need to go, you know, do something again," whatever their thought may be that seems to think they can alleviate the pain of the trouble they're going through. But I want to tell you something. Sin is never the answer. Jesus Christ is always the answer. And escaping temptation, if you think about it, strengthens you and makes you more like Christ. You go through that Bible and you read about temptation. You read about the trial of your faith. And you know what? God uses that trial of your faith to make you perfect, to establish you, to strengthen you, to settle you. That's his objective. In other words, he allows you to continue to go through those things because as you do, you get stronger. Stronger in your faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, not in your self-reliance. Stronger in your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, for sure. So man has trouble with temptations. That's the T in trouble. But he also has trouble with relations. That's the R in trouble. We're troubled in our relations. You faithfully serve the Lord Jesus Christ. You raise your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and they go astray. Or you raise your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and your siblings go astray. Or you raise a wonderful family, and your friends turn against you. You serve the Lord faithfully, and your church splits. You live for the Lord, and your co-workers despise you. I mean, the trouble is always there in your relations somewhere. But you know what the Lord said? Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword. A man's enemies shall be they of his own household. Jesus Christ said, mine own friend hath lifted up his heel against me. You think, how in the world could something like that happen? But it does. Jesus said, I came not to send peace but a sword. I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. You say, why is that? Well, for one thing, it drives you closer to the Lord Jesus Christ than any other method that you or I could even consider. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. And you don't find the abundance of life in Jesus Christ until you've gone through problems with your relations. All of that I just read to you is Matthew chapter 10, verses 34 to 39. You say, that's just an amazing thing. It really is. But you know something? The sooner that you and I look for the Lord Jesus Christ in these troubles, the closer we get to Him, the more like Christ we are. Jesus Christ had wonderful disciples, and they were with him for 3.5 years. But at a time when he needed them the most, they forsook him. The very world for whom he died rejects him. Haven't you ever tried to witness to somebody, to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ, and then you see their response? I don't need none of that. You know what? They do. They need all of that. But I'm going to tell you something. That's the life of Christ. Welcome to the life of Christ. Paul even said that I may know him in the fellowship of his sufferings. You see? That's where you find the power of his resurrection. You're finally made conformable to his death. If you and I get out of here with 5 good friends by the time we've ended our lives, we've done pretty well. Why? Because man is born under trouble as the sparks fly upward. And he has trouble with temptations. That's the T in trouble, and he has trouble with R, relations. That's the R in trouble. And I'll tell you something else. Man has trouble with O, occupations. Trouble, T-R-O, occupations. We're troubled in our jobs. You stand for ethics, and you get fired. You stand for ethics, and you get squeezed out. You work harder than anyone on your level, and the other guy gets the raise. You're constantly pressured to join your coworkers in social behavior that is totally unacceptable for a Christian, and you have to keep saying no. You stand for the Lord, and everyone gives you the cold shoulder. You're trying to find somebody there at work to be your friend, and nobody wants to be your friend because you're a Christian and the rest of them aren't. You work and work hard and barely make enough to pay your bills. You work and work hard and your body gets broken. And you say, why is that? That's the way it is with labor. You work hard and your body takes the toll. But you know what? We have to remember that Jesus' job was to leave all of his riches and all of his glory and to come down here to do what? Die for mankind. Wow, what a job. And yet he said, I do always those things that please him. You know, we have to remember that our employer is Jesus and that we work for him. And when we do remember that our employer is Jesus and that we work for him, you know what? It helps us to remember not to get so upset, okay, with man, because we are doing whatsoever we do heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. That's from Colossians chapter 3, verses 22 to 24. Oh, it helps us to remember that. We're born unto trouble, and part of the trouble is with our occupations. But that's not all. There's T-R-O, now we have you. Man has trouble with unappreciation. Now, I don't really believe that I coined that word. I actually found it, but that's not a word you I think, find. If you tried to put it in your spell checker, I think you're going to get the red line underneath it, okay? Unappreciation. You see, you're troubled in your own heart, and I am too at times, because we are not appreciated by the people from whom we seek appreciation. Yeah, have you ever felt that from your parents? You tried to do things to please your mother or your father or both of them, and they didn't seem to appreciate you. As a matter of fact, what you got was exactly the opposite of what you were hoping to get. How many wives feel unappreciated by their husbands? How many husbands who have fathered some young children now have come home and felt unappreciated by their wives and their children? I mean, there was a day when the husband and wife married and they were each other's love, and suddenly now she's had a child or two and she spends her day with this beautiful child that has come from her own womb, and it's like you don't exist and you feel unappreciated. Or your parents, you and your wife are both parents, and you're unappreciated by your children. And you say to them from time to time, we haul you all over the place. We take you to the soccer field. We take you to the baseball field. We take you to the football field. And this is the appreciation you show us? Trouble, man. Trouble. You put in a good day's work. You put in a good month. You put in a real, real good six-month job, because you know you have a review. You know you have an employer review coming, and your employer seems to not even know that you've been there, unappreciated by your employer, and you've been breaking your neck. Or you're unappreciated by your employees. You're giving them every possible best scenario that you possibly can at work, and they don't like it. They're still not happy. Or you're unappreciated by your students. You're a teacher who puts extra effort into doing an especially good job, and your students don't seem to even care. They don't like you. Or you're unappreciated by your relatives. You love them, you pray for them, you'll do anything for them, and they couldn't give you the time of day. Sometimes they even have social functions, somebody's birthday, something like that, you're not even invited. Or you're unappreciated by your neighbors. You're always looking out for them, you know, making sure that the trash can is brought back in, making sure that the paper is picked up when they're gone, making sure that the mail is gathered so that people, you know, don't have too much mail in the mailbox, and yet they never seem to give you the time of day. Or you're unappreciated by your fellow church members. You show up and you're like, does anybody know I'm here? Or whatever other times of unappreciation you have. You know what that is? That's trouble. It's trouble, and it really bothers people. You may be one that really gets upset about that. Well, let me tell you this. Not only was Jesus not appreciated, he was hated. He was hated, and it would do us well to remember that. When he did those things that always pleased his father, and his father said, okay, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. Remember that? You got to remember that they may hate you, but the Father loves you, you see. And it's always important to remember that. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. That's John 15:18. So important to remember, because you're going to have that trouble. But just remember, the Lord loves you. And that's a major, major thing. All right, here's another one. Now we've got to come up with a B, and that's a little bit hard to do when you're looking for a word that ends in T-I-O-N. Okay? You probably never heard this word before, but it is a real word. Man has trouble with temptations, you know that word. Man has trouble with relations, you know that word. Man has trouble with occupations, you know that word. Man has trouble with unappreciation. You may not know that word, but you understand it. And how about this one? Man has trouble with botheration. It's a word. I kid you not. Man has trouble with botheration. What is that? You're troubled by the things that bother you. I'm troubled by the things that bother me. Have you ever been troubled by your spouse's habits? I'm talking about the bad habits. All right, they, you know, I don't even want to start in because I don't want to think about the kinds of habits, you know, that go on at my house. Those that I have or those that I may experience in my house. A spouse's habits, they'll bother you. Children misbehaving, they'll bother you. Trouble. How about stressful days? Traffic, oh, how about that one? How about insomnia? Huh? How about insomnia? Get home, you're all ready for a good night's sleep, and then nothing. Those are tough. How about uncertainty? Boy, isn't there a lot of uncertainty in the world now? I mean, we're certain when we read the Bible, Jesus is coming. We know the Antichrist is rising. We know that Jesus is coming back to rule the world. So we've got a lot of certainty. But when you think about the investment you have for your retirement and stuff like that, you're very uncertain about all of that. How about the news? I don't make it a habit to watch the news or read the news, and that's not because I want to remain in ignorance. It's I don't want to have to be having to filter all that out because the news is constantly bad and it's there to scare you to death. You don't think you have enough locks on the doors. You don't think you have enough burglar alarm in the house. You don't think you have enough food for the bad days coming. You don't think you have enough money for the future. I mean, you don't think you have enough insurance to cover you for your health. I mean, it's just, you know what happens? Your health takes a toll just worrying over that stuff. You're bothered by politics. We're going through another election cycle now and you're concerned about the choices you have and whether or not the men or women you want to vote for are actually going to get the job done. You're worried about what's going to happen to you in older age. You're bothered by failing health. You're bothered by the maintenance on your house and your car. Whatever it is, you name it, there are things every day that bother you. And that's part of the trouble. Man is born unto trouble. You know, so did Jesus had a lot of things that would have bothered him too. It didn't seem to bother him, but he certainly was exposed to a lot of things like we are that should have bothered him. He didn't have time to rest. He hardly had time to eat. Many times you read in there in the New Testament that, you know, they were getting ready to sit down and here comes the mob or talking to a lady when the disciples went to get some food and he's over there and he says, I have meat to eat that you know not of. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me. Boy, I'm telling you what, Jesus, you talk about stressful situations, long days. He knew nothing of the 40-hour work week, okay? And Jesus was constantly surrounded by needy people, and he didn't even have a place to call home, okay? So when you consider the trouble that we have, Jesus Christ certainly didn't escape it. But somehow or another, he got through it without seeming to be bothered by it. And the way he did, obviously, is he relied upon his Father. And that's what happens is with trouble, we start attending to and focusing on the trouble. And we don't, or somebody says, we gaze at the trouble and glance at the Savior instead of gazing at the Savior and glancing at the trouble. Man is born under trouble. T, temptations. R, relations. O, occupations. U, unappreciation, B, botheration, and L, lamentations. We are troubled by things that make us sad, things that make us cry. What are those? Sickness? You just found out you have cancer, and it's just so sad. Or a loved one has cancer. You're troubled by death. Sad. You get the news that somebody has just died. They're very close to you. You're lamenting your fears. There are things that you're so scared of at times concerning your children, concerning your future. You'll cry, just overwhelmed by the fear. You're crying regularly over a family member that's in jail, over a family member's addiction you've just found out or recently discovered or have known for a long period of time, that you have a child that's strung out on dope. You cry over the fact that you're in a lawsuit or have recently received notice of a lawsuit. Or you've gone through a lawsuit and it just wore you out. You may have won, you may have lost, but nobody comes out a winner in that thing. You're just worn out by it when it's over. You're lamenting a catastrophic loss. House burned down, car blew up, major wreck. Over a lost loved one. Maybe none of these other things are happening, but you've got family members that are dying and going to hell. So many things in life cause us to weep. But I'm going to tell you something. Jesus Christ did not escape that either. The Bible says Jesus was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. That's just the way it is down here in life. Life is full of tears. That's why the Bible says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. 1 Peter 5:7. Don't forget that. How about this? The E in troubles. Expectations. You're troubled by expectations. You have busted financial expectations. You saved up enough money where you could have retired in 2008. You held on just long enough till the housing bubble came, and now you're still trying to dig your way out of that. You'll be working for 5 more years, and you're still upset about that. Trouble, man. How about the busted marital expectations? You married the love of your life, and you're wondering what now it was that you saw in him or saw in her. And you're trying to figure out how to work through that problem. Or how about busted physical expectations? You thought that your body was strong enough to be able to handle many more years of life, and now you are dealing with bad knees, bad shoulders, bad hips, bad mind, and it's not going to hold out. How about busted spiritual expectations? You look back over the last 20 years that you've been saved, and you thought you'd be a lot further along spiritually than you are today, and you're wondering how in the world it happened. Or the busted expectations for your children. You had such high hopes for them when they were 5 and 6 and 8 and 10 years old, and now they haven't turned out anywhere near your expectations, and you're so frustrated and so troubled by that, and you don't know what to do. You face disappointments weekly, if not more often. And you think, what am I going to do about this? Trouble, trouble, trouble. May I tell you something? Jesus understands that. Jesus died for everybody. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And yet most of them wind up in hell. And you say, that's tragic. It is absolutely tragic. He gave his life a ransom for all. He wants us to go tell other people about the Lord Jesus Christ. We're a trouble to him because we don't do nearly as much of that as we're supposed to do. And you're just like, so many problems. He had great expectations for us, and have we lived up to his expectations? You know, isn't it something? It is an amazing thing how our world is so filled with trouble. Now, let me tell you something. Man is born under trouble, and the trouble with most men is that they, rather than turn to Jesus Christ for strength and grace and wisdom and humility to handle these troubles, men succumb to them. The troubles are there to make you better and make you a better minister because of the ministry of consolation. And what happens is, rather than turn out better like Job did, we go to these stupid things. Rather than look to the Lord, most men try to insulate the trouble by cushioning the blow. Mothers do this for their children. And when they do, they enable their children to continue the same bad behavior that is prolonging the trouble. And that's just what the devil wants you to do. Throw a mattress down every time they're about to fall and cushion the blow so they don't experience the need for their own repentance. Let them fall. Maybe then they'll be like the prodigal son. Or they try to isolate the trouble by seeking protection. A person who has been hurt in church will stay away from church to keep from being hurt again. And that's just what the devil wants. Listen, if you can't go back to the church that you had to leave, go back to a good Bible preaching, Bible teaching church and sit down and get well. Rather than look to Jesus, men will try to inebriate the trouble with drugs and alcohol. Men do this to escape. But the problem is you wake up in the morning and the trouble never goes away. And that's just what the devil wants. He's got you on a merry-go-round and you're going round and round and round in your inebriation. Let me tell you something. Get off the merry-go-round. Face the trouble without the aid of drugs. And through Jesus Christ, you're going to find a way to correct that particular trouble in your life. Rather than turn to the Lord, most men try to intoxicate the trouble with entertainment, with recreation, with distractions, anything to keep from having to think about the problem. Men do this so they don't have to face the truth. That's just what the devil wants. So get into your Bible, find out the truth so you can correct the trouble, come into fellowship with Jesus Christ, and you're going to find rest for your soul. Listen, man is born under trouble like this, as the sparks fly upward, but that trouble is not for you to run from. It's to drive you to Jesus Christ. Jesus has been there through every bit of the trouble you have faced, and if you will trust him in your trouble, your fellowship with him is going to be better than you could have ever imagined. And you're going to find that every trouble in your life is met with a divine grace that strengthens you in the time of trouble. You find that without this trouble, you would never find the grace or the knowledge of God to the degree that you have in the trouble. And what's going to happen, rather than run from the trouble or cave to the trouble or fuss with God in the trouble, you are truly going to thank God for the trouble rather than question him and hide. You know why? Because you're getting stronger. You're getting closer to the Lord. You're getting more Christ-like. And it took trouble to get you there. Thank God. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.